It's 5 September. It's Sunday. It's time for the CG Report. I'm Charlie Garrett. Good without God? That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, let's see here. We have a midweek CG report. I do one on Wednesday sometimes, and I did one this past Wednesday. If you did not watch it, I would encourage you to watch that midweek CG report. There is information out there that a lot of people are unaware of, and I got a confirmation of it from the Epoch Times yesterday. I will tell you first what the substance of the CG report is. You want to watch it so you can get the entire article and understand what's going on. Everybody knows that there are approved vaccines now for COVID. Is that right? There are no approved vaccines for COVID in the United States. There are none. And the reason why is because they approved a vaccine from Pfizer Biotech, which is called Comirnaty, I believe is how you pronounce it. Okay? That has not been released in the United States. There's not a vial of it there. What they have done is they have said, well, we will give this vaccine, and you can also use the EUA vaccines, okay? But the EUA vaccines are not under any form of liability. If you die from an EUA vaccine, you can't sue anybody. They have not released this because they want to get rid of this, and they want everybody vaccinated with this before they introduce this. But at the same time, they're going to be working for an exemption for this, the biotech. So if you are forced, or if you know anybody that's in U.S. military or anyone else that needs a vaccine and they are being forced to take a vaccine, you tell them that they must ask what is on the bottle. If it doesn't say the Pfizer Biotech Comirnaty, and I may be mispronouncing that vaccine, they cannot force you to take it because it is not FDA approved. And so please be aware of this and immediately tell the people I am not taking that. That is an experimental vaccine, okay? Please watch that CG report so you get all of the information that you need on that. But here's confirmation from the Epoch Times. Newly approved COVID vaccine not available in the United States. The first COVID-19 vaccine approved for use in the United States is not available yet, and it's unclear when the first doses will be ready for administration. It will be after all of the other ones are done, so that they don't lose any money, because this is a big money thing, right, and after they have some protections, which you will not be able to sue them for. That second one may not be correct, but that's my guess is what's going on. The scam is revealed, okay? Now, just so you know, and I'm going to say this right now, it may not happen, it may happen. There will probably not be a midweek CG report this week. I have to fly to Denver. I've got a funeral to do in Boulder. I'm going to come back late on Tuesday morning, which is Wednesday morning. I'm flying back on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. So I may not be able to get a CG report up for you on Wednesday. If I can, I will. But if I can't, I apologize about that in advance. And it's going to be a very, very busy week because I've got to recoup all of the time from Monday and Tuesday to get ready for the weekend. So I just don't know if I'm going to be able to get you a CG report, or if I can, maybe it'll be on Thursday. I don't know. I don't want to commit to anything, but I apologize in advance for that. Okay, starting out today with some news from Israel, from the Times of Israel. Netanyahu scaled back intelligence sharing when Biden took office. He didn't trust him, and so he scaled it back. The U.S. is increasingly dependent on Israeli intel on Iran's nuclear program, as Tehran has effectively cracked down on the American spy network in the country. As President Trump's term ended, Jerusalem withheld information from Washington to prevent the Biden admin from curtailing its covert military operations aimed at obstructing Iran's nuclear program. One example was the strike on the Natanz nuclear plant in Iran, widely attributed to Israel. The report said that the White House was allegedly given just 2 hours' notice of the plan, far too short of a time for the U.S. to assess the operation or ask Israel to call it off. Yeah, senior Biden admin officials were quoted as alleging Israel had violated a long-standing unwritten agreement to at least advise the U.S. of covert operations, giving Washington a chance to object. The report said the reason for the policy change was Netanyahu's distrust of Biden. And the feeling, yes, and the feeling in Israel that his admin was inattentive to Jerusalem's security concerns. Okay, unfortunately, the next article comes out, Times of Israel, Israel and U.S. working on Plan B if nuclear talks fail. Okay, Gantz says. Defense Minister Gantz said Israel and the United States had restored intelligence ties. So the new administration over in Israel is cowing to Biden, which Netanyahu was not doing. Now, I have always said I thought it was time for Netanyahu to go. But at the same time, the person that's been put into the prime minister's office is not capable of handling the duties. He is not a responsible person. Anyway, they've restored the ties and we're working to develop a plan B if the stalled talks between Washington and Tehran regarding a fresh Iran nuclear deal sputter out following a meeting between Prime Minister Bennett and Biden last week, which, if you saw, Biden actually fell asleep during that meeting. Bennett was talking to nobody. He was just talking to the wall.
He was talking to nobody before Biden fell.
Well, that's true. He was talking to nobody before he fell asleep. So Gantz warned that if Iran becomes a nuclear state, it will trigger an international arms race in which many other nations in the Middle East and beyond will attempt to acquire an atomic bomb. Can I help you, ma'am? Oh, that's my mom sneaking in. Okay. On Friday, Biden told a joint press conference with Bennett that his admin was ready to turn to other options if diplomatic talks with Iran failed, likely alluding to the possibility of clandestine operations and military strikes. From the Times of Israel, Bennett said to vow he won't openly lobby against U.S. return to Iran nuclear deal. Netanyahu would have blown his lid over this. And this guy here doesn't care. He's not going to lobby against it. So it looks like they will have this deal and it's going to go through and it's only going to harm everybody in the Middle East and around the world.
Shocking.
Okay, from all Israel. Israel considering new sweeping restrictions, possibly barring unvaccinated from supermarkets. So if you're a unvaccinated person, like some of my friends over there are, then you can't go to a supermarket, possibly. The media is not asking how COVID could be so out of control in Israel with such high vaccination rates. Of course, they're not. On the contrary, the government and Israeli media blame the unvaccinated for the rampant infections. Another cause for confusion stems from the news reports themselves. On one channel, an interviewer spoke with a hospital director saying that 90% of hospitalized patients are vaccinated. But a second station aired an interview with two nurses who implied that all their COVID patients were not vaccinated and made an emotional appeal to viewers that their patients' dying words were, "I should have taken the vaccine."
Lie.
Now, I have seen this in at least 4,975 articles in the past 2 months, okay? When you are on a ventilator, you aren't speaking, okay? These people are saying this to follow the party line, okay? 90% of hospitalized patients are vaccinated in Israel. From CNBC, Israel doubles down on booster shots as daily COVID cases set new record. New daily coronavirus infections, however, have just climbed to record levels. COVID-19 transmission in Israel declined sharply as the country vaccinated more than half of its population in around 2 months. COVID-19 cases in Israel have been rising sharply since July, despite the high vaccination rate. New daily cases in the country reached an all-time high of 12,113 on August 24th, surpassing the January, when it was all going on, the January peak of 11,934, way surpassing it. Despite high levels of so-called breakthrough cases, morbidity in the country hasn't overtaken the peak seen in January. Well, why would that be? They say because the vaccines work. I'll tell you why. It's because the people that were most susceptible to dying died. That's right. They attributed to the vaccine rollout. I would say that's not the case. The people that got it originally that could not handle the strain of COVID died, which happens with flu, which happens with the cold or whatever else happens in the world. Okay, so this is what's going on. They're making stuff up and they're continuing to do this. All Israel. In another vaccine world first, booster shot now offered to every Israeli from age 12. Zero Hedge, Israel warns COVID green pass will expire if residents don't get their third jab. This is another move of the goalposts, and guess what I saw this morning? Fourth, that's right. A fourth jab. He says, we cannot count that out. They're already planning on the fourth. Think of the money that's being made.
Yes.
Jerusalem Post, U.S. Army decides not to buy Israel's Iron Dome interceptor system. Last week, they released the information that they had fired it. They instead got something else. Okay, some news from Christianity Today. I'd like to congratulate Deanne Young, who is all caught up with all of the Deuteronomy sermons. She is right up with us now, following along in the book of Deuteronomy. And Jerry Jeffer said he enjoyed the Jonah sermons. One of my favorite series. I don't think that there'll ever be a series of sermons that I, one, enjoyed more, and two, I think has more of a surprising ending than those Jonah sermons. If you haven't watched them, there's only, a handful of them. Watch them. I think you will really enjoy that series. Okay, from the New York Post, Harvard's new chaplain is an atheist.
Yes.
And good without God.
Yes.
Harvard University's Organization of Chaplains is getting a new president to coordinate campus Christian, Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, and assorted other religious communities. Only the new president, 44-year-old Greg Epstein, does not identify with any of those traditional religions himself. He is an atheist. Despite his disbelief in any higher power, Harvard chaplains felt Epstein, the author of the book Good Without God, What a Billion Non-Religious People Do Believe, was a good choice for the position due to the young people's increasing lack of any religiosity. There is a rising group of people who no longer identify with any religious tradition, but still experience a real need for conversation and support around what it means to be a good human and live an ethical life. We don't look to God for answers, he added. We are each other's answers. His election was unanimous. For a seminary that was started for the sole purpose of evangelizing the new world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, how the mighty have fallen. From the Daily Memphian, Mississippi Governor, South's response to COVID impacted by belief in eternal life. You wonder why there's a difference between the southern states and all these other states as to why they're locking people down, why they're mandating masks, why they're saying you have to get your 27th jab. It's because of a belief in eternal life, according to the Mississippi governor. I'm often asked by some of my friends on the other side of the aisle about COVID, and why does it seem like folks in Mississippi and maybe in the Mid-South are a little less scared, shall we say? Reeves said, when you believe in eternal life, when you believe that living on this earth is but a blip on the screen, then you don't have to be so scared of things. From Salt Lake Tribune, Mitt Romney to unvaccinated, speaking about somebody that has no beliefs. Your liberty affects my health, he says. Well, guess what? That's the price of liberty, Mitch. From Christian Times. Church in Wales, my mother was not nice to Mitch just now. I won't repeat the terrible thing she said. Actually, she said, go ahead and die.
Yes.
From the Christian Times, Church in Wales to vote on same-sex blessings. The Church in Wales governing body is to consider allowing blessings for same-sex couples who are married or in civil partnerships. The legislation does not propose allowing gay couples to marry in churches, only to receive a blessing. The service is for a blessing only as same-sex couples are unable to marry in church. The bill proposes authorizing a service of blessing on an experimental basis for 5 years. Does anybody think that's where this will end or that they'll rescind it? Absolutely not. Clergy will be free to decide whether or not they want to use it, the Church in Wales said. So there you go. Now, my guess is in 5 years they're going to say, we're sticking with this, and the clergy will have to do it. That's my guess. But I don't know if we have 5 years left before the church is taken out of here. So, all right, from the Christian Times. 1,200 Christians evacuated from Afghanistan in donor-funded rescue mission. Glenn Beck, he's a Mormon, but he's a moral man. Glenn Beck says 1,200 Christians have been rescued from Afghanistan in a donor-funded evacuation. A fundraiser launched by the Blaze founder raised over $28 million towards the mission. Speaking on the Blaze, he said some of that included a loan he had signed for personally and a significant donation given by a journalist and TV host, Bill O'Reilly. He's getting people out of Afghanistan when the U.S. government was sitting there twiddling its thumbs. From Breitbart, Chicago Cardinal mandates coronavirus vaccination for priests and church employees. Cardinal Blaise Kupich has ordered that all archdiocesan employees and clergy must receive a vaccination against the coronavirus within the next 6 weeks. If there's anybody that knows any of those Catholic priests and they don't want to get this, they need to say, check the bottle, and what does it say on the bottle? Okay? With no exemptions for reasons of conscience, Cardinal Kupich made this announcement after unsuccessfully pressuring the National Catholic Bioethics Center to change its position on vaccine mandates and conscience exemptions. The most authoritative guidance from the Catholic Church issued on this topic comes from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith and emphasizes that individuals must discern whether to be vaccinated or not in conscience and without coercion. It sounds like he's coercing his people. In an August 19th email to Chicago clergy and staff, Cardinal Kupich, he said he was imposing the obligation to be vaccinated because he is convinced that this is the best way to stop the spread of this deadly illness. Kupich also stated that a religious exemption cannot be supported by Catholic teaching and told priests of the archdiocese not to give a religious exemption to a parishioner who requests one. That is a person that should not be in any religious position. I don't care who he is. He ought to just be taken out of that. From JTN, Virginia Supreme Court upholds some good news finally. Upholds reinstatement of teacher who opposes transgender pronoun mandates. Loudoun County Public Schools failed to convince the Virginia Supreme Court that it had the right to suspend a teacher and ban him from school board meetings for publicly speaking against a proposed transgender pronoun mandate. The High Court upheld a circuit court ruling that reinstated Tanner Cross as his free speech lawsuit proceeds against the district. It cited recent First Amendment precedents from both the Supreme Court of the United States and the Sixth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Good job. Some news from the Mideast and Africa today from Mail Online. Why did we go into Afghanistan? Does anybody remember the initial reason why? What was it?
9/11,
but what was the group behind it?
The terrorists, Taliban,
Al-Qaeda. We went in there 20 years ago. Trillions of dollars have been spent. Many, many people have died. One estimate is over 1 million people have died from this conflict. Mail Online, Al-Qaeda is already back in Afghanistan. Bin Laden's security chief and arms supplier, Amin ul Haq, returns to his hometown after 20 years, just hours before final U.S. troops leave. The entire war was wasted. From BI, which is Business Insider, Taliban brutally killed a popular Afghan folk singer just days after it said music is forbidden in Islam, former minister says. From Pink News, you know, the pink is all a bunch of lefties. They don't like what the left is doing over there or what's happening to the left over there. From Pink News, Taliban cut Afghan man's body into pieces to show what they do with gays. JNS, Iran taking advantage of lax enforcement of U.S. sanctions to export fuel. And our president will do nothing about this, even though it's in complete violation of what's set down. Experts tell JNS that existing sanctions are becoming problematic as they tend to wear down over time as workarounds are found. They also say that the current admin has been lax in enforcing them, sanctions that were put in place by the former administration. In blocking Iranian energy exports, the U.S. government's objective has been to prevent Iran from getting resources it can use elsewhere. While fuel exports to Lebanon are unlikely to produce money for Iran, they will give Hezbollah a potent way to raise cash, which means Tehran needs to send less to the group. So, such exports are a setback for U.S. policy, fuel exports to Afghanistan, produce a flow of cash. We are taking small traders on both sides, and Afghan banks are not working, so they're sending it to Lebanon and Afghanistan. To Lebanon, they're not going to make any money, but they don't have to funnel money to Lebanon if they do that. To Afghanistan, they're actually getting direct cash because our president has completely messed up the Middle East. It is useful for the Iranians involved and marginally useful for the Iranian government since the price for the exported fuel is low. The government makes little off of them. Ariel Cohen, a senior fellow at the Atlanta Council think tank who consults businesses on risk assessment and energy worldwide, tells JNS, to allow Iran to flaunt sanctions and supply fuel to Lebanon in violation of the sanctions will be a serious challenge for the Biden administration. With the ascendance of President Raisi to power, the pace of Iran's aggressive moves that violated the sanctions regime is growing, including international piracy that has been seen this year in the Gulf. Iranian Foreign Minister spokesperson Khatib Zadeh said this week that Tehran is prepared to ship more fuel to Lebanon if needed. According to Reuters, Iran restarted gasoline and oil exports to Afghanistan in recent days after a request from the Taliban, said Iran's Oil, Gas, and Petrochemical Products Exporters Union. Bad news all over this, I'm telling you. From the Jerusalem Post, Hezbollah accepts third shipment of Iranian fuel to Lebanon. Now, about a month ago, I said, watch Lebanon. And we need to very closely continue to watch Lebanon. The leader of Lebanon's Iran-backed Hezbollah group said a third vessel of Iranian fuel was agreed to ease crippling shortages in the country. Hezbollah's foes in Lebanon have warned of dire consequences from the purchase, saying it risked sanctions being imposed on a country whose economy has been in meltdown for nearly 2 years. From Watchers, a month's ration of bread now at 44% of monthly minimum wage. This is Lebanon again. Before I go on, though, you do know that this is only the start of that. Pretty soon it's going to be one day's wage, one loaf of bread. So we're getting there quickly, but this is where Lebanon is very quickly moving ahead of us. Bread prices in Lebanon soared another 11% due to the worsening crisis. A bag of flatbread costs 5,000 Lebanese pounds in supermarkets, over three times as much as last year. This is a knock-on effect of fuel prices soaring and the economy collapsing. The triple impact of extensive power cuts, high fuel prices, and expensive food are pushing more people from all backgrounds into dangerous territory. No family can go without bread in Lebanon. If bread will fall out of reach, which is already happening in some cases, there is no plan B besides hunger. Those poor people. And, you know, this can all be attributed right back to our current administration. I mean, they're already having problems in Lebanon. Trump was willing to do what he could do to benefit them. Our current president is going to do nothing, and it's only going to get worse. As we span the globe, we will try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. From Edinburgh News. Guess what, folks? Edinburgh is not in Mongolia. Edinburgh, Scotland?
Edinburgh.
I'm sorry. I'm not Scottish. I don't pronounce it that way. The three male I'm going to mispronounce this word, Przewalski's horses, I guess. The three male Przewalski horses, all age three, arrived safely at the zoo. This is the first time zoo visitors will be able to see Przewalski horses in the capital and learn how they were brought back after becoming extinct in the wild in the 1960s. These are Mongolian horses. They're little dinky things. They're beautiful horses. They were almost entirely extinct, and they have brought them back, and they're being taken to the Edinburgh Zoo. The Book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. So what's up in this regard? Mail online. Scientists have found a way to bottle the smell of what scares bugs, and it could help protect plants. This is a great idea. Researchers from Penn State studied the odor of ladybugs. These tiny beetles prey upon aphids, a common and destructive garden pest. Chemical analyses revealed the individual compounds making up ladybird scent. The team then tested each on live aphids to see which the bugs reacted to. Simulating the smell of predators may offer an alternative to regular pesticides. I think that's ingenious. from The Verge. Samsung, this is ingenious here. The old loot and shoot, you don't have to anymore. Listen to this. Samsung says it can remotely disable stolen TVs. Samsung has revealed its TVs can be remotely disabled if the company finds out the units have been stolen. If you have a Samsung TV, what you need to do is write down the serial number, and then if it ever gets stolen, you get broken into, you just call and say, I want this deactivated, and they will do it for you. The feature is called the television block function, and Samsung says it was recently activated in South Africa after a number of Samsung TVs were taken from a company warehouse during a wave of protests and looting last month. Samsung says the technology is already preloaded on all Samsung TV products and ensures that the television sets can only be used by the rightful owners with a valid proof of purchase. It's not clear, though, from Samsung's description whether the feature is only intended to combat large-scale theft or if it will ever be used to help individual consumers. For the TV block function to work, Samsung needs to know the serial code of the stolen unit, so write it down if you have one. When the set connects to the internet, it checks its serial code against a list on Samsung servers and disables all TV functionality if it finds a match. Mail online. U.S. Navy is developing sonic weapon that blasts the target's own voice back at them, leaving them disoriented and unable to communicate. I will tell you that when you hear your own voice a microsecond after you're speaking, it is the most annoying thing on the world. If you ever have feedback or something and you're trying to do something, you'll know that. They have developed something that will do this purposefully. Okay, here we go. A patent for a handheld acoustic hailing and disruption, AHAD, system was approved in June. The device records a subject's voice, then plays it back at them on a slight delay. Due to the feedback, the target's speaker's concentration will be disrupted, the patent reads. There is no doubt. The non-lethal weapon would make it difficult for a target to continue speaking. One approved for every member of Congress and the White House is suggested. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of, and let's see how that's developing. From BBC, Liz Shaw. Everybody knows Liz Shaw if you've been to the UK. If you don't, you probably don't know who she is, but she was a presenter on BBC. A while ago, she died, and they finally released why she died. Liz Shaw. Presenter's death due to complications of COVID vaccine. A radio presenter died due to complications from the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine, a coroner has found. Liz Shaw, who worked for BBC Radio Newcastle, died at the young age of only 44 in May after developing headaches a week after getting her first dose of the vaccine. Miss Shaw suffered blood clots in the brain, which ultimately led to her death. Well, I can say her vaccine journey did not go so well. Zero Hedge. Spain's Supreme Court rules against using vaccine passports to restrict access to public spaces. Good job, Spain. It's one of the few countries that is using a brain. I'll read it again because some of you didn't seem to hear what I said. Spain's Supreme Court rules against vaccine passports to restrict access to public spaces. Good job, Spain. Zero Hedge. New York City offers 150,000 teachers and school staff to either get vaccinated or find a new job. New Jersey orders jabs for state workers. Okay, once again, if you know somebody in one of these positions, call them and tell them that unless it says Comirnaty on that vial, you will not take it and they cannot do anything to you. Okay, that's what needs to happen. Make sure that people are informed of what's going on in this nation. It's all about money. This is all about money and not being able to sue when your life is put in danger. From the Daily Caller, Saints tickets are selling for less than $1 after the team requires fans to be vaccinated or have a negative COVID-19 test. Saving lives, one delay at a time. From the Toronto Sun, burial costs covered for Canadians killed by approved vaccines. Did you know that? If you're in Canada and you die, your burial costs are paid for. That fund is going to go out of business really quickly. Mark me on that. The Department of Health will pick up the tab and says the new program addresses a long-standing gap in Canada's national immunization programming by providing a timely, no-fault financial support mechanism for all people in Canada in rare instances where they are seriously and permanently injured performing a public good, being immunized. Like I said, they'll probably go bankrupt in a couple months.
Yeah.
From the week, extreme heat and drought are crushing key crops and punishing U.S. farmers. The price for staples like corn and wheat continues to rise amid increased demand, but farmers' ability to cash in on the opportunity remains hampered, first due to the COVID-19 shutdowns and now to hot, dry weather affecting their output. For instance, about 63% of the country's spring wheat crop is currently in poor or very poor condition versus 6% at this time last year. Meanwhile, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, and Nebraska all contain areas of extreme drought. And North Dakota and Minnesota in particular are experiencing near record lows in soil moisture. The USDA has consequently scaled back its expectations for U.S. crop production in 2021, and in turn, domestic inventories are shrinking. The impact of the drought is clear, said Chip Flory, leader of the Western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. There is no way around that. It's not just harvests in the U.S. that are suffering. Worldwide grain inventories are dwindling, reports the journal. Drought has impacted both corn production in Brazil and wheat production in Russia, with the soil moisture in Russian wheat growing regions at its lowest levels in decades. Sounds like we're heading into the end times really quickly. We'll see. You know, things can turn around. I'm not trying to predict anything or make any statements of certainty, but it sure seems like things are winding down. Maybe the Lord will be coming for us really soon. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From Breitbart, a graying Italy looks to euthanasia to solve its demographic problems. 750,000 Italians have signed a petition for a public referendum on legalizing euthanasia, guaranteeing its presence in the next national elections. Italy, which has the oldest population of any country in Europe and the second oldest population in the entire world, may soon legalize an escape chute for those wishing to unburden family members or the state. Even for those who do not wish it, the pressure to do the right thing will be substantial. Mail online. CDC's woke new language guide proposes replacing dehumanizing words like inmate, poor, and elderly. This is the CDC saying you can't call somebody an inmate, poor, or elderly. Most of the recommendations are structured to read such as a person with disabilities, rather than describing someone as disabled. The CDC has even asked for smokers to be referred to as people who smoke. I'd like to say that if this makes sense to any of you, I question your brain pan.
Right.
From Life News, but you know what? It's not supposed to make sense.
No.
This is an intentional attempt to destroy
language,
to destroy the family unit, the nuclear family. All of the foundational underpinnings of this nation are being torn apart by people that are in authority. From Life News, feminists raised $2.2 million to start mail-order abortion business to kill more babies.
Wow.
A new mail-order abortion group just got a huge influx of support from big money investment groups to expand its business of killing unborn babies. Founder and CEO Kiki Friedman said she began Hey Jane after she found out that six states have only one abortion facility each. At the time, Missouri health officials were trying to close the last abortion facility in their state. A Planned Parenthood accused of injuring dozens of women in botched abortions. The business provides no-touch abortions for women up to 10 weeks of pregnancy, according to the report. It charges $249 per abortion and does not accept insurance. You just, hey, Jane, and you get your stuff in the mail and you kill your baby. Life News. New children's book tries to convince kids it's okay to kill babies in abortions. LifeSite, UK police roll out rainbow-colored squad cars to combat hate crime promote LGBT agenda.
That'll work.
Mail online. I pledge allegiance to the queers. California teacher sparks outrage by getting students to pledge allegiance to a gay pride flag as school board launches an investigation. They'll probably promote her.
Probably.
Some other news from around the world. And as I say each week, please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons. There's a lot more going on in the world of the Lord than prophecy updates, okay? These sermons are researched, they're detailed, and you will learn about the Word of God. I would suggest that you learn them. From the Daily Wire, third grade lesson on Virginia State Education website appears to glorify communism. A lesson plan on a website registered to the Virginia Department of Education has third graders learn that police hate black men and watch a video that appears to glorify communism. A is for activist. The book calls for students to become abolitionists and blends indoctrination with learning to read. C is for co-op, creative counter to cooperate vultures. Allusions to communism continue throughout the book. Radical Reds. M stands for May Day, it says, referring to the holiday created by the Marxist International Socialist Congress. It appears to criticize the Democrat Party as too tame and liken Republicans to dictators, showing a picture of a red elephant and a blue donkey and saying, dictators detest it. Donkeys don't get it. U is for union. Union, yes, and Z is for Zapatista, of course, referring to the Zapatista National Liberation Front, a group of violent, masked socialist rebels in Mexico. Yep. It tells children that the purpose of education is to agitate, not to learn to do well on tests. Open minds operate best. Critical thinking over tests. Wisdom can't be memorized. Educate, agitate, organize. The lesson is part of Go Open Virginia, a website registered to the Virginia Department of Education. Unbelievable. From Politico, meth, vanilla, and gulags. What do they have in common? I would like you to read this article this week. I'm not going to cite it. It's about this long. It is a very good article. Meth, vanilla, and gulags. How China has overtaken the South Pacific one island at a time. Think of it. Meth, vanilla, and gulags. Okay? We sent our troops in World War II, and they, one island at a time, lost thousands of men to secure the Pacific, and we have frittered it away. U.S. News. Brazil's Bolsonaro says everyone should buy a rifle. Brazil's President Bolsonaro said that everyone should buy a rifle in a meeting with his supporters outside the Alvorada Palace, the president's official residence. Bolsonaro, who has tried to change the laws to allow more Brazilians to bear arms for self-defense, said those who oppose guns should stop nagging gun buyers. We need a president like that. That's what we need. Mail online. This is bad news, folks. North Korea restarts its plutonium-producing nuclear reactor in sign it could be expanding banned nuke program despite offering to dismantle part of it in a deal with Trump. The reactor in North Korea's Yongbyon complex is the only one in the country known to be capable of producing weapons-grade plutonium. The facility is believed to have been dormant since 2018. It was the subject of talks between North Korea and the Trump admin in 2019 when Kim Jong-un offered to dismantle part of the facility. In return, Kim requested sanctions relief. His offer was rejected. The IAEA called the development deeply troubling. It's a possible sign Pyongyang is expanding its banned weapons program.
Wonder why.
Yeah, wonder why. Breitbart. Bidenflation. Consumer prices rise at fastest pace in 30 years. It's been more than 30 years since consumer inflation ran as hot as it did in July. Consumer prices were up 4.2% compared with July of 2021. That's according to the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index released this past Friday. That's the highest since January of 1991. Core prices, which strip out volatile food and energy costs, were up 3.6%, also a 30-year high. When I say this past Friday, I mean one Friday ago, not 2 days ago. From Zero Hedge, this is important. Everybody should know this. I added it into the report because you all need to be aware of it and consider it in case it comes up to you someday. Which animals could you beat in a fight? If you've ever daydreamed about protecting yourself and your family from a rampant wild animal, you probably concluded your fantasy is the victor. If the scenario were to become a reality, though, and you had to fight an animal unarmed, what do you think the actual outcome would be? A 2021 YouGov survey asked exactly that of British and U.S. adults, and before I go on, my brother's making funny animal things over here, so he's getting me off my game, which is always off anyway. Some of the respondents were still firmly in fantasy land when considering the scenarios. This can be said to a greater extent for people in the United States, duh, where, for example, 8%, now 9%, because he said it before, oh no, this is something else, it's not a bear. He said a bear, he could beat up a bear. This can be said to a greater extent for people in the U.S. where, for example, 8% said that they think they could beat up a gorilla. A gorilla with their bare hands. Presumably more realistic, almost 70% in both countries said that they could take a house cat in hand-to-paw combat. A rat, likely a tricky customer for most opponents, nevertheless inspired the most confidence, with up to 72% claiming they would emerge victorious from the ordeal. Well, they've obviously never seen the movie Willard, because if they have, they wouldn't think that they could beat up a rat. Okay, I just had to throw that in. It was just too good to not. My brother can beat up a bear with his bare hands. All right. From Breitbart, 21 times Joe Biden promised to leave no one behind.
Yep. Uh-huh.
21 times. Liar!
But he didn't.
Floridian Press. Pelosi blocks names of 13 service members killed from being read.
Yep.
Epic Times. CDC Director Walensky tells unvaccinated people don't travel over Labor Day weekend. Guess what I'm going to be doing,
Let's
by the
go.
Way?
Let's go!
Unfortunately, I'm going to bury a very close friend of all of ours. You know that. And so it'll be a mournful time for me, but I will be going. And I'm just very sorry about what happened. We all miss her a lot. Okay, who said it? Those who promise everything are sure to fulfill nothing.
That'd have been a president.
No.
No.
Carl Jung. Go look him up. I'm challenging you here. You got to expand your whatever you call it. Okay, I got a double Lesserick here for you. They both fit together so well that I thought I'd throw them both in. One from him, one from his wife, which makes it a Catholic. Okay, Harvard has a new chaplain overall who embraces the season of fall. Seems he thinks we're all good, like an atheist should. He has not hit it big, but a wall. When the wolf is guarding the sheep, then those lambs had better not sleep. When an atheist cares for God's little heirs, then man, we are stuck in it deep. Okay, I got a little bit of irony here for you today. I'm sure you heard the second one, but the first one is typical of the world we're living in. Weasel Zippers. Taliban holds reporter hostage while he tells everyone not to be afraid of the Taliban.
Right.
They had guns on him while he's giving this speech.
Yeah.
Mail Online. This is such good news. Florida, of course. Florida diner that posted note refusing service to Biden voters because of his botched Afghan withdrawal is forced to close after it sold out of food following a boom in customers. They ran out of food and they said, we'll have to close today. Come back tomorrow. Good job.
Where was it?
Here in Florida. Oh, I don't know. Where? DeLand, Florida. DeLand, Florida. I would go up and have breakfast with that guy, I'll tell you.
tomorrow.
It's what?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a woman, he said. Oh, good job. Even better. Road trip for Labor Day. Such is the world we live in. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.